So today is an exciting day. I am BJ, the lead pastor here, and today is our commissioning service for the Ridge Church. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. So several weeks ago, I shared with you guys basically that our responsibility as a mother church was to pray for the Ridge Church, to pray for this church plant. And so we handed out some, and those who actually know what plants are called, I think this is a viola. Can somebody confirm that? Okay, so nobody can. You're just going to leave me hanging here. That's fine. So this little shrubbery here was, we handed those out. And so every day, my family and I, we've been watering it. And the challenge was, as you watered this plant, to continue to pray for the church plant. And so despite the fact that my children have been over-watering it, and it's been, you know, it's had a challenging life. It's made it. It survived long enough for me to use it again as an illustration here. So I think we're doing pretty good. But as you can see, it is ready to be planted. It no longer can survive by my little, you know, kitchen counter there. So, but I was thinking about just planting and the idea of sending off. And what a both just a challenge it is, but also what a joy it is. And so you guys know I have young children, but a young man, Jonathan Zimmerman, one of our worship interns here, came to live with us a couple years ago. And earlier this fall, he decided to go to Northwest University to pursue his pastoral ministry degree. And we, Nicole and I, got the opportunity to send him off. And over the years in youth ministry, watching students graduate, it's always kind of a bittersweet time because you're excited to see where they go, but it's hard to let him go. And so as we were sending off Johnny, I got to step into the shoes of what it must be like to be a parent, to send off a high schooler to college. And it was with great joy and also pain that we released him. But I remember we dropped him off, we took him out for a nice meal, and then we went to Walmart and just, you know, probably spent way too much money decorating his room. But got to send him out with a blessing. And we've been using the image of, you know, kind of a pregnancy with the church plant. And yes, I'm fast forwarding many years, maybe about 18 years, but I think the imagery is very similar, that we as parents, as Adventure Church, as the mother church, we have the joy of sending off the Ridge Church plant. And it is the joy of the parents to get to do so, to send them off with joy, with excitement, to see what God's going to do next and how they're going to step out their life and make their own choices. And it's also our joy to go to Walmart and maybe spend a little too much money. And so today, I just want to encourage you to celebrate with us the miracle that is the life of a church plant and what God is doing here. And so this kind of event is something that we want to celebrate with all of our family. And so today we've invited Jan Hedinga and Kirk Gendron, who are members of this entire church family. We are part of a conference, and we were planted by Cascade Church in Monroe, represented by Kirk, which was planted by North Shore, represented by Jan. And so, Jan, why don't you come up and join us? Jan is going to start us off this morning, and so I want to invite you to join me as we just pray and begin. Jesus, we thank you for the miracle of life. And God, we thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing today. Jesus, we pray now just a blessing for the Ridge Church. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to be joyful parents. And so I just pray for Jan. Pray that you would just speak through him clearly. God, that you would give him wisdom. And we thank you for the honor of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. I've been listening to this great young preacher online for the last month and a half, and his name is B.J. Hillebush, and he's been teaching this church about church multiplication, church planting, and laying the foundation. And I told him this morning, I said, you just about didn't leave anything for me to talk about, because you've already been teaching it, but thank you. Thank you so much for setting this up so well. As a church, we need to review what God says, what the Scripture says, what church history is all about. We need to look back and say, how did this all happen? In 2,000 years, how did the Church of Jesus Christ spread throughout the entire world? And how are we going to contribute to the next generation? Well, that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit today. I'm going to jump into what this church is already doing. I am so jazzed, so happy with what you're doing. You're showing all the signs that the Holy Spirit is here, that God is generating a life form, because the Church of Jesus Christ is a living organism. It's just not a collection of people. It's not even a community. It's a new kind of life in which you and I are called the body, and Jesus is the head. And that head and body image is about a kind of life that wasn't created in the beginning. It was created at the cross. It was created when Jesus birthed the vision, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And lo, I will be with you always. But I get to jump in on what you're already doing. This launch Sunday is actually your second time in the delivery room. 9 years ago, you planted a daughter church. Jeff Umpervich was part of you at that time, and you sent him out to plant Adventure Everett. And they eventually merged into another church, a tiny little church that was part of that community, and they're now called the River of Life Church. But it's a solid church. It's ongoing. It has a life of its own, and it is participating in our church planting network. Now, 9 years later, at a time when probably, you know, the wise old heads among us would say, maybe not the best time to plant a daughter church, you guys have decided to go ahead in faith. This church that's been on the drawing board for quite some time, with the leaders that have stepped up and the people that have formed the team around them, are ready to go. And you're saying, instead of this being a loss, we're going to see this as a gain. We're going to celebrate what God is doing in multiplying churches through us. My wife has been raising puppies for years, and one of the things we've noticed is that the fat mother dogs don't always have as many puppies as the skinny ones. And you are, I would say right now, kind of a skinny mom. But the interesting thing is, new life that comes from a skinny mom can be actually pretty remarkable. We had a dog that we called Daisy, and she was long in body, and for some reason didn't gain a lot of weight, so she was always thin, but she always had about twice as many pups as all the others, and she got retired eventually to an old lady that needed a companion. But anyway, she's our famous dog in our kennel, because she just kept having those incredible litters of pups. What I'm saying is this: you are in a place where you probably would look at what's going on and say, this is going to be a stretch. But I want to tell you, God loves that kind of faith. Absolutely loves it. You're being obedient to the vision of Jesus Christ, not just the leaders of this church. Jesus made every church for the next church. You don't exist for yourself. You don't exist for yourself as a follower of Christ. You exist for the next follower of Christ. You were born again to reproduce. And when you reproduce as a follower of Christ, new followers of Christ are the result. If you're a leader here, you're only a good leader if you reproduce yourself. Leadership is about the next leader, not just about you. It's about the multiplication of leaders, because the church always needs more leaders, especially if it's going to be a multiplication church. So every church is about the next church. But for that to happen, there have to be more leaders and more followers. But that is the design of God. Well, where does this kind of crazy faith come from? I'm going to take you to the scriptures. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about your family history, the DNA of this church planting movement. I'm reading from John chapter 15. And I didn't bring my big Bible to impress you, but I do know that the bigger the Bible, the better the sermon. So this is from John chapter 15, first 8 verses. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Let me just pause there. This already starts to sound threatening. The Father, the gardener, doesn't really care how much stress he puts on the vine and the branches, because he's not after a happy vine, necessarily. He's after a fruitful vine. So he says right off the bat, every branch that bears fruit, I'm going to prune it because I want more fruit. He prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. He's the vine. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And what an incredible instruction that it's not about us. It is about Jesus. What we were doing here in worship, that's not just some little cultural thing. What we're doing when we worship is declaring our dependency. We're saying, God, it is about you. We love you. We praise you. But we are under you. That's what worship does. It puts you back in your place. It puts you back under God himself. And when you're under him, when you know your place, that's what this is talking about. It's talking about the kind of, I skipped a page here, but it's talking about the kind of relationship where there's a fruit bearing that results from it. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me, Jesus said. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You and I are not the vine, we're the branches. He's the vine. We draw our sustenance from him. We wouldn't have life without him. But we have a relationship with him. I in you, and you in me, we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. In other words, what's the purpose of a branch in the vine that doesn't bear fruit? You might as well cut it off. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So in other words, in this vine and branch relationship, there's a communication where the vine says to us, Jesus says to us, the branches, ask whatever you will, because you're remaining in me and you are intent on bearing fruit. Now you're in a place where I will answer you. I will answer your prayers. This is for my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I don't know if you ever had trouble with your parents' expectations for you. My parents had higher hopes for me than I had for myself. But I loved their encouragement. And now looking back, I am so glad they said, go on to Bible school. I was ready to take a job out of high school. Go on, get some more education. I didn't really have the vision for that myself, but they had a vision for me. Here in this passage, what is God's expectation? What is his vision for us? He's the gardener in the story. What is he looking for as he approaches the vine? Fruit. So what's fruit? Well, there's three kinds of fruit in the New Testament. There's the fruit of our lips, even praise to our God, Book of Hebrews. Then there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is character, love, joy, peace, the virtues of Galatians. And then there's the fruit of our lives. Let me talk about that for just a moment. Do you remember back in the book of Genesis when God was creating everything? Some of the things that he said as he was finishing his creation. This is Genesis 1:12. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds. So right from the beginning, God was looking at reproduction or multiplication as the way this creation would work. Let's take a look at 1:22. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the water in the seas, and the birds increase in the air on the earth. Then came human beings. Genesis 1:28. So God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply. That principle is built into every life form on this planet. Everything multiplies. Every plant, every fish, every bird, every animal, including human beings. There's now what? Over 7 billion of us on this planet. Have we increased and multiplied? Yeah. But there's another life form that we've been talking about, the church. And it was designed by God to increase and multiply as well. There's an old song that I remember from back when I was growing up. In fact, my dad used to sing it. And the chorus goes like this. It's talking about the problem of not following through on God's design for you as a follower of Jesus or for the church. It says, nothing but leaves for the master. Oh, how his loving heart grieves when instead of the fruit he is seeking, we offer him nothing but leaves. A lady wrote that, and she caught it. She caught the concept. When you offer your life to Jesus, expect that his expectations will be greater than yours. When he sees you, he sees not just a branch with leaves. He sees you as a fruit-bearing branch. And that means reproducing after your kind. Now, why do we have such a problem bearing fruit? Because we do. Most of us know what an overbusy life is, don't we? But we know what clutter is. We know what too much stuff is. That's foliage. That's growing a busy life, but growing the wrong things. So when God prunes people like you and I today, what does he prune? He prunes away the clutter. He prunes away what we're wasting our time on. The alternatives to fruit bearing. One of the things that God has put on my heart as a pastor over the years is that I'm always with Christians, and I have to work at finding non-Christians and developing relationships with them. It really is something I have to do intentionally, because otherwise my time is just all taken up with Christians. And I can have some fruit with Christians, but I have to set the example for Christians. So if I'm going to ask people like yourselves to bear fruit, then I've got to be bearing fruit intentionally. Now, in order for me to do that, I have got to cut time out. I've got to set up my life in such a way that I have time to befriend people who do not yet know Christ. If I have to do that, I am positive you have to do that. If you don't have intentionality when it comes to your personal witness, let me tell you, your time and energy and resources will get sucked up in leaves. I don't know if it bothers you if you look at the last year or 2 years or 5 years of your life and you see, I haven't won anybody to Jesus. I haven't been used of God to bring anybody to salvation. I don't know what that does to you, but what it does to me is it's like somebody's stepping on my lifeline. I feel like I'm suffocating. It's not right. It's not normal. It's not natural. And I feel panicky. Lord, I've got to get into a place where I am bearing fruit, where you're using me as a conduit, taking your love, your gospel, your salvation into the lives of people who need it. My wife is a rose gardener. And this is time of the year, February usually, when she prunes her roses. Now, at one time, I gave her a rose bush for every year of our marriage, but it got ridiculous because we just celebrated 50 years, and she was kind to me about it, but she said, you know, I know you love me, but I think I've got enough roses to prove that. But she's learned how to take care of them, and she does an awesome job. She just finished the pruning, as I mentioned. And she's ruthless. Our roses, I mean, she, you know, fertilizes them and she cares for them. She sprays them and so forth so that they are really healthy. But this time of the year, you know, they've bushed out over last year. And now she's in there with those clippers just trimming them back. And I look at those stubs that are left and I say to her, did you have to cut them back so severely? And she says, you just watch. You just watch. They're going to be better than ever this year because I pruned them. We're going to get bigger roses and more roses as a result. If my wife has learned that as a gardener, let me tell you something. Our gardener, our Lord, our Father, is going to do the same thing with us. So God is always ready to cut away anything that hinders multiplication. I am so glad that in a time of pruning here at Adventure Church, you saw not the pruning, but the fruit ahead. Yeah, you've been through a tight time, a pruning back time. But the fruit is coming. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. We are a group of people who, and this is the second part of my message, your family DNA. We are a part of people who are about the next followers, the next leaders, the next churches. And that's part of a way of being the church that has actually become quite rare in our world. I think most of you probably know from having some life experience with churches that about a third of the churches are dying. Evangelical Bible-teaching churches, about a third of them are gradually declining and dying. About a third are plateaued. In other words, they kind of hold on about the same year after year. And about a third of them are growing. But out of the third that are growing, most of them keep all the people to themselves. They just build bigger and bigger buildings. And that doesn't help church growth in the end. Because what happens is this. The big churches gather up people from the small churches, and then the small churches are weaker as a result. Why? Because the big churches can provide excellence. They can provide better programming. They can provide better space for children and youth. They can hire more pastors to do specialties, ministries. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to be a big church. Not at all. I'm just saying that the church that multiplies itself is pretty rare. But you come from a group of people who are doing exactly that. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's happened, and then I'm going to close. In 1993, North Shore Baptist Church then, it's now North Shore Community Church, caught a vision. God spoke to my heart, our leaders, our staff, and we decided we would multiply churches. Now, at that point, it was pretty obvious that God was leading us there because our building was being used to the max. And it was either go out and buy 50 acres or 100 acres of land further out and build a big complex, or stay where we were and spin off new churches. We decided to start spinning off new churches. We weren't very good at it. When we started, we were faulty. We were ignorant. We didn't do a good job. And the first church was the Solid Rock Church, which we planted in the Canyon Creek Canyon Park area. Solid Rock lasted 2.5 years, and then it collapsed. But instead of seeing that as a defeat, we saw it as, okay, now we know what we did wrong. Let's do a better job of this. So we started planning for New Song Church, which we were going to plant in Redmond. And all of a sudden, God said to our congregation, no, we're going to have twins. And so instead of one leader rising up with the team, two leaders rose up with the team. New Song was planted, and then Cascade just a few months later. So in 1997, we planted two daughter churches. New Song lasted 10 years. Hundreds of people came to Christ. It wasn't a wasted effort at all. But through a number of circumstances, that church is no more. Cascade went out to Monroe with Pastor Nate Hedinga as its leader and has thrived. It became a church planting church. It became your mother church. A group of people was sent out from Cascade. Pastor Randy was sent out with a team. And that the Lawrences coming here as a family to lead this church, to start it, was a work of God. God did marvelous things. People came to Christ. People were healed. Families were healed. And you still had the DNA of multiplication. Like I said, 9 years ago, you planted your first daughter church. Now you're planting another church. Cascade went on to plant church after church. Crosswater in Salton. High Point in Maltby. North Shore went on to plant more churches. It planted North Sound in Edmonds. It planted North View over in the Mill Creek area. It planted Imprint in Woodinville. And on and on. So much so that now this network of church planting, all of these leaders who come together to encourage each other to keep planting, there's 22 of us, 22 churches. All right? That is a work of God. That is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Where there was one church at one time, that the capacity of that church is about 2,500 to 3,000 people in the facility. All right, now there are 10,000 people in 22 churches. That is biblical multiplication. Why? Because what happened was the multiplication of leaders. Instead of one senior pastor, there's 22. Instead of one elder board, there's 22 elder boards. Instead of one staff, there's many staffs. And we've just started. We're gaining momentum. And part of what's happening here is a momentum has been building. And you're part of it. I put an apple up here early in the service, not because I was hungry. But let me say this. When you see an apple, what do you see? Fruit. All right, what's it good for? Okay, it's good eating. What's the part of the apple you don't eat? The core. And what's in the core? Seeds. All right, what's God's design for an apple besides food for you and I? To reproduce. The seeds are in this fruit. When you look at an apple, you're looking at a potential, not just a potential apple tree. You're looking at a potential apple orchard. Because that's God's purpose. When you look at a church, you don't see just a church. You see the seeds of many churches. Because that's God's design. God designed living things to reproduce. And the Ridge is going to be leaving us this morning. This is their commissioning. The Ridge Church is your daughter. Seed. Your fruit. And we're going to commission them now.
Good morning. As BJ mentioned, I'm Kirk Jenner, and I'm the executive pastor at Cascade. Have been there for 19 years on staff for the last 12, and it is a pleasure to be here this morning. I asked these guys to stay up here and join me as we kind of do this commissioning. How many of you have been a part of a commissioning service before? Okay, a few of you. I actually went and looked up the definition of commissioning, so let's not do something without knowing what we're doing, right? This is what it has to say. The act of committing or entrusting a person or group with supervisory power or authority, an authoritative order, charge, or direction, an authority granted for a particular action or function. So part of what we're here to do this morning is to commission the team that is going out to go and do a work, and we're extending authority from generations to go and start a new work. And I was thinking one of the places where you typically hear commissioning is like maybe for a ship, right? We are not going to break any champagne over Jerry's head. Definitely the temptation just because it would be an experience, but we're not going to do that. And so a part of what I do, you and Cindy come on up here and join us. A part of what I wanted to represent here was, as Jan was talking about the generations and the legacy that we have, as he mentioned, there's far more people serving in church, leading teams, and all these different things that are going on than would happen if back in the 90s, North Shore decided just to stay internal. And so that legacy, we think about legacy, what will we leave behind, what impact will we have, what difference will we make? We're representing legacy here, right, across the board and what God is doing in us. And so I don't think that this Bible is quite as big as Jan's, but I didn't realize that, or I would have looked for a bigger one. So I just want you to catch the symbolism. So we purchased this Bible, and we're giving this to Jerry as a symbol. The foundation of everything that the Ridge will do is going to come out of the Word of God. The legacy that we have and the impact that we had is all based on the Word of God. And so we're offering this as a symbol for you, and we're going to go through and we're going to read kind of the Bible gives us kind of a just an introduction to the church planning. And so in Acts, there's a few verses, and so I'm going to ask Jan to read, and then we're going to pass it around down through our generations here, and then we're going to give the Bible to Jerry.
Right, he asked me to read the first verse because it's got a lot of difficult names in it.
Well, and you're the great-grandma,
right?
So we figured you could handle it.
Okay, thanks. Now there was in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them."
Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off.
I know this is a solemn moment. You got my back. Right.
So where are we at here? Verse 8. All right. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Yeah, if I could have the leadership guys, leadership team members from the Ridge, thank you, come on up here as well. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, definitely. I realize there's multiple pastors up here with microphones, so this could be a long, long morning. But, 9 years ago, I was here when Jeff Ump was being sent out. And I remember my reaction at the time was, man, this guy's crazy. Who would actually do that? I've got a job, and not doing that. And about 2.5 years ago, I was in a network planters dinner, and just celebrating everything Jan's been talking about, that this group of people has been focused on and wanting to do. And I remember in that moment thinking, okay, Lord, I think you're speaking to me, and I think you're calling me to maybe pursue what I saw Jeff Ump do so many years ago. So it is Jan's fault that I'm standing here right now, and I'm glad the plant is still alive. So I think that's maybe a good sign. But I wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for a community of people. And as Jan said, Christ is the head, and we're the body. And individually, we can do nothing. We can do nothing, of course, without Christ. But I think that he sets this up to where we have to do this as a community of followers and a community of the body. And these men, and by no means do these men and women represent everyone. There's such a community that we have that you're sending out. And we're excited about that. We're looking forward to the unknown. We have no idea what's going to happen next week, let alone next year and beyond. But we know that when we follow God wholeheartedly and when we give it all to Him and we keep focused on Him, and as Kirk said, when this is our plumb line, when His word is our plumb line, we will not fail. We will succeed because we're going to take His word into a world that desperately needs Him. And so we're excited to do that. We're looking forward to that. We're not leaving. We are a part of a larger body in Christ, and that's exciting.
Amen.
I want to just present this Bible to you from your great-grandmother, your grandmother. It's weird. And then your mom, just as you said, not leaving you out of it, young, skinny mom. This is your plumb line. This is your spiritual sword that you're going to carry. Let this guide your church in everything you do. Hold it high, and it will do you well, as it has in the generations that exist. So I give this to you. Now I'm going to ask you as a team to turn. I'm going to give you a charge, and I'm just to ask you to respond with "we do" as a part of this. So as you, the Ridge team, do each of you commit to living a life transformed by God, a living testimony of His love, to serve as a witness to the people on the Ridge, and thereby fulfilling the Great Commission? We do. Awesome. Now I'm going to ask you as a congregation, you're not getting out of it, so would you stand as well, and I'm going to give the charge to you, and you also respond with "we do." Congregation of Adventure Church, as a church, you are also called to fulfill the Great Commission. As you send off this team as an extension of your body, do you commit to support them through prayer and encouragement as they begin this new work? We do. Awesome. You may be seated. I'm going to invite Jeff and the rest of the elders to come on up.
Thank you. Here, let me get over in this spot. Yeah, Jan, your message was incredibly powerful, and until you called us a skinny mother, I was just totally into it. But at least you didn't use the actual word for a female dog, so I appreciate that. but truthfully, yeah, thank you for that word. Not that word, but thank you for the other words. Okay, moving on. So, Jerry, I get the honor of just kind of acknowledging the relationship that I've had with your family. And for me, I think different than anybody in this room, I was doing some calculating this morning, and the amount of hours we've spent together are not in the hundreds, they're actually in the thousands of hours that we've passed. And not just in ministry. You know, we've been climbing around on roofs and traveling internationally, elder meetings, pastor meetings, so many memories that we have. And one of the hopes that I have, and I think the nature in which we're sending out the Ridge Church, is that we get to continue to have those adventures together. I hope that we can share pulpits and have, you know, events together and things in the future. So that's how I cope with the sadness that I have of this morning. It's a good thing this morning, but as part of just symbolizing how we see your work, and I say your work meaning this whole team that's here, is part of God's army. You guys are going out to win souls, and seeing you and Cindy as commanders. Ultimately, God's the commander of the army, but we're praying and thinking about how could we symbolize that well. And you got the sword here, but BG and I went to Walmart and spent more money than we should have, and we got something else for you. So this is 1902, authentic officer's sword. And want this to be for you and Cindy a symbol of what God's calling you to. And I know you of everybody in here understands the responsibility that God is giving you for that. And I wouldn't trust anybody more with that responsibility. I know why God's called you to this. And so I just want you guys, Adventure Church wants you guys to have this and to put it somewhere where you're going to be reminded of the calling on your lives. So take it out. It's the real deal.
It's okay. Back up.
So hang on to that thing, and we're going to pray for you guys. I'm just going to commission you. So, Lord, I am so grateful for the time that I've shared with Jerry. I know there's so many other stories in here as well, of the times they've spent with Cindy, this family, their kids, Lord, and also with all those who are going to the Ridge. So many lives, so many relationships and connections, stories, redemptive stories. And God, those are what we're looking forward to hearing fresh as they go up there. There's going to be new ones, new stories, new relationships. It's because of what we've experienced with these people that we have hope for what you're going to do on the Ridge. And so we commission them, and more than anything, we pray that your Spirit would do an incredible, powerful work through Jerry and Cindy, through this whole team that's going. God, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be by your Spirit. And I thank you that this team knows that, and they're leaning into you with that, and they're being led by you. And so we just pray, Lord, plant them well in good soil, mm-hmm. that they would grow, that they would bear fruit, prune them as they grow where they need to be pruned. Mm-hmm. But Lord, we're asking for a fruitful church that plants other churches. Mm-hmm. And so bless this family, bless the Griffins, bless all the other leadership families mm-hmm. that are going, and really anyone who's joining them as members to go up are leaders. And so cover them, Lord, when discouragement comes. Let your light and your hope shine. Let them see the fruit, Lord. We don't always get to see the fruit, Lord. Would you bless them with that privilege yeah. of seeing the fruit that's coming from their labor and from their just obedience to you? Mm-hmm. And, Lord, bless our ongoing relationship as churches.
That's right.
With Adventure Church here, with the other churches in the area up there in the Ridge area, but also in our conference. I just pray that unity would be one of the main fruits on that tree.
That's right.
So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
She's got the sword.
Yeah. All right, take your sword. So that concludes our service, but we're having a baby shower, and there's a lot of people have put some cool input into this party that's going over here. So I just want to encourage you guys, don't take off. Head over to the fellowship hall, and we'd love to party with you and celebrate what God's doing. And then also, yes, one of the things that we talked about last week was just praying for a special offering that we want to have for the Ridge. There are going to be stations in the back there for you to give. There's one up front here too. Yeah, over. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So we've got over at the baby shower as well, there are envelopes marked Ridge, and you can put gifts in there. We'd love to just bless them financially as well as they go out and so many things. The list grows of things that they'd like to get and need to get for what they're doing. So thanks for coming this morning. If you want prayer this morning, just invite you to come up front here Susan, you want the mic? Thanks. Okay, we'll see you over there.